I'll never forget the experience I had when I was in Japan. To be in a place that never heard of the fall in the Garden of Eden. To be in a place where I can read in one of the Shinto texts, the processes of nature cannot be evil. When every impulse, every natural impulse, is not to be corrected, but to be sublimated, you know, to be beautified. And the glorious interest in the beauty of nature and cooperation with nature and coordination, so that in some of those gardens you don't know where nature begins and art ends. This to me was a tremendous experience, and it's another mythology.
Speaking of different mythologies, let's just have a little fun here. I took these from your atlas. I'll read Genesis. I'll read from Genesis, and then you identify and read from the corresponding text.
Oh, yes.
Genesis 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply.
Now, this is from a legend of the Basari people of West Africa. Unumbote made a human being. Its name was man. Unumbote next made an antelope named antelope. Unumbote made a snake named snake. And Unumbote said to them, the earth has not yet been pounded. You must pound the ground smooth where you are sitting. Unumbote gave them seeds of all kinds and said, go plant these.
And Genesis 1, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good.
And from the Upanishad, then he realized, I indeed am this creation, for I have poured it forth for myself. In that way, he became this creation. And verily, he who knows this becomes in this creation a creator. That's the clincher there. When you know this, then you've identified with the creative principle yourself, which is the God power in the world, which means in you. It's beautiful.
What do you think we're looking for when we subscribe to one of these theories of creation, one of these stories of creation? What are we looking for?
Well, I think what we're looking for is a way of experiencing the world in which we are living that will open to us the transcendent that informs it and at the same time informs ourselves within it. That's what people want. That's what the soul asks for.
You mean we're looking for some accord with the mystery that informs all things, that what you call that vast ground of silence which we all share?
Yes, but not only to find it, but to find it actually in our environment, in our world, to recognize it, to have some kind of instruction that will enable us to see the divine presence.
In the world and in us.
And in India, this wonderful Anjali, this greeting, you know what that means?
No.
That's the greeting of prayer, isn't it? That's what we use for prayer. They greet you with that. That's greeting the God that's in you as you come in. These people are aware of the divine presence. When you enter an Indian home as a guest, you are a visiting deity and you feel it by God the way they treat you. It's something in the way of a hospitality that you don't get where you have simply one person and another person. It's a recognition of the identity.
Mm-hmm. But weren't people who told these stories and believed them and acted on them asking far more simple questions, you know, who made the world? How was the world made? Why was the world made? Aren't these the questions that these creation stories are trying to address?
No. It's through that answer that they see that the Creator is present in the whole world. Do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. This story that we've just read, I see that I am this creation, says the God. When you see that God says he is the creation and then you are a creature, well, the God is within you and the man you're talking to also. And so there's that realization, two aspects of the one divinity.
Accord again, harmony again.
Wonderful thing.